Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Program is for you.
Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. She's also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Beverly, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure.
You
brought with you a friend of yours and a friend of ours now. His name is Ron Wall. He's the president of a company called In Plain English. His name is Ron Wall. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Well, thank you very much. Good morning to you too, Bev.
Good morning.
And Bev, thank you for arranging for Ron to come back on the show. And Ron, thank you for agreeing to do that. When you were with us last time, Ron, you were telling us about your company, about some of the things that you do and how you do that. And we touched on the fact that you use mostly independent contractors rather than employees. Now, what I'd like for you to do for just a minute or so is remind my audience about what you do. Tell us about your company In Plain English.
Well, we improve the flow of factual communication. For example, one proposal that we're doing this week, an organization has a group of technical employees, and they need to make a report to the administrator of the organization, and it will mean the difference between the organization going private or staying the way it is as a public organization.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, these are very technical individuals who write very technically, have a particular bent to their writing, and it's not the kind of thing that the administrators can understand easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the tendency is to overwrite when you're a technical person writing mm-hmm. for someone else. Our job is to come in, read their report, study how the administrator is looking for the information to be given to him, and to rewrite their information in a way so that it's easy for the administrator not only to understand, but to justify to his stakeholders, the people that will pay his salary.
You take the technical information and turn it into sort of a selling document.
Well, we say we take the technical and turn it into human.
In plain English.
That's right.
In plain English. Now, you've been doing this for a while, and you started out doing it on your own, and as your company grew, you decided you needed more human resources, didn't you?
Yes, actually, I worked for a major consulting firm, and I was fired, which is one of the very good ways to get into business on your own.
Congratulations.
I once had a boss who said that you're not really a professional administrator or businessman until you've been fired twice. I now qualify. But that was 22 years ago, and I had always said, I know how to do this job right, and if it was my own business, I'd do it this way. Well, this way was multiplying my effectiveness, and you do that by having other people who are professionals who don't require a great deal of training to become as professional as you want them to hit the ground running when you're working with other clients. You do the marketing and let them do the professional, the technical aspects of the work.
Did you decide to hire contractors because that was your plan, or was it more of a necessity?
That was my plan. I felt that there was a fairly big market of people who wanted additional work, either part-timers who wanted work or people who did not want to work for a major employer, were looking for work, and even some employees who, as I said, had additional time on their hands that they wanted to earn additional living, additional income.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to organizations that traditionally help people who are returning to the marketplace and are trying to find out where they could best be employed.
Yeah.
I also went to organizations at that time, Wider Opportunities for Women, and Organization of Association for Part-Time Professionals. And I put an ad in their materials looking for contract individuals, and I also looked at the people who were looking for either part-time or work that they could do from home.
Okay. And Beverly, you're the co-host here, so anytime you want to jump in,
thank you.
You can interrupt
me. Ron are doing a great job.
You can interrupt me. Ron, before we get into some of the things you were just mentioning, because I want to dwell on those just a little bit later on. You chose to be home-based.
Yes.
So basically, you knew you weren't going to have, if you grew your organization, you weren't going to have 30 or 40 people running around your house. You probably wouldn't be home based and have a satellite office somewhere. Although Beverly, I know people who do that.
Right. And Ron, talk about, did you decide you wanted to be home based because you knew you could work this kind of a business from home
My accountant helped me. When I was making the decision, he asked me, I said, well, I need to get an office. What should I allot for paying for a commercial office space? And he said, are your clients going to be visiting you? I said, no. Will you have employees? I said, no. They'll be contract individuals. He said, well, you know, why do you need an office, a commercial office? Why don't you work out of your home? And I looked at the finance of working out of my home, and I said, well, sure. And then I found out that legally it was okay for me to work out of my home. At the time it wasn't. It became legally okay. And for those considering it today, in most areas it's legal to work out of your home. And the only stricture now for working out of your home is the number of people either that visit or work there.
Well, the thing that I wanted to ask here is, and then I'm going to go back to a question I asked you a minute ago. You didn't really have home based on your mind day one. You just knew you wanted to work for yourself. You didn't know exactly where you were going to wind up. But what I'm saying is I wonder if had you not had that conversation with your accountant, had you chosen to go ahead and lease an office downtown or whatever, do you think you would have hired employees, or do you think you would have wound up with the contractor approach even then?
I had made that decision before I went into business.
I got you. Okay. You knew how your organization was going to be structured.
Absolutely.
Before you started. I got you. Okay, good. All right, stand by, Ron. Bev, we're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. It's a beautiful morning. Anytime I'm visiting with my very good friend, Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Business. You like that music, Bev?
You are so sweet. That is a nice song.
And Ron Wall is the president of In Plain English. He's also our guest, and he's a friend of Beverly's first, and then he became a friend of ours, and we appreciate both of you joining us today. We're talking about what Ron does in his business, but primarily, we've actually spent some time talking about that before, but primarily today we're talking about how he does what he does and the way he gets the job done, and that is by employing independent contractors, by working with independent contractors rather than having employees. Now, Ron, you have employees, right?
Yes, I have a secretary or executive administrator.
Okay, you have one employee, traditional employee, and how many contractors do you have?
15.
15.
And that figure has varied over the years.
That's right.
The need has changed.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's really interesting that Ron started this 22 years ago, and because of the concept of independent contractors, started this business, whereas now it has moved differently, and people start their home-based businesses and then grow and realize they need help, and then they go to independent contractors. So.
Right. The interesting thing is that the concept that I followed when I started, unbeknownst to me, I was starting a concept, is today called virtual partnerships or
right.
virtual alliances.
Mm-hmm.
And you see even major corporations virtually aligning with other organizations in order to do the business they need to do, but without adding additional employment costs.
Right. It really is, not just because, I mean, you didn't have all the technology when you started doing yours.
No.
But the technology has helped now for more and more people to be able to do business this way.
I was talking to someone yesterday who was telling me about his webmaster. And I don't know how it came up. I must have said something about this person and that made him say this. I don't remember what I said, but the person said, "I don't know. I've never met him."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, as you know, he could. You know, you can. He was his webmaster, and he was doing a very good job. And he probably spent a lot of money with him, but they had never met. My question to you, Rod, is how many of your 15 contractors have you never met?
Face to face.
Mm-hmm.
13.
You have only met two of them?
I've only met two face-to-face. The others I've met through the Internet, through telephone conversations, through the mail. And then once we met, that way, we, our continuing relationship has been by phone and email.
Right.
Now, did you put out a query looking for certain types of people, or did you just happen to come across them in chat rooms? Or?
Well, both. For example, in the past year, I needed to add about 10 people, and I went to a professional site in the area that we were going to be working, and there was an employment section on that site on the Internet. And there were people advertising for additional work, for contract work or part-time work. I contacted them and told them what kind of a program we had, contacted by email, and asked them to send me their resumes and writing samples. They did so. I also put up an ad on a professional website talking about what I'm looking for, the types of writers and consultants I'm looking for. And then also got their ads, their materials. When I, curiously enough, when I was looking for a secretary or administrative assistant, the paper ads did not raise any people. Mm. It was the computer ads that the newspapers had, along with the paper version, the print version, that brought me people. And it's good because I'm looking for people with very strong computer skills.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead, Beth.
Oh, I was just going to say that it's interesting. We've talked, Jim, many times on the air about networking and which groups you should belong to. And one of them that I've always advocated for, of course, is the Chamber of Commerce. And the other one is the association in your field so that you can network with your peers, keep up with current trend information, and begin connecting with strategic partners or other people who might want to contract with you, and I think that's exactly what Ron is saying that he did.
Absolutely. For example, I always talk to my friends and associates because there may be people that they know who would be interested in this kind of work who I would not come in contact with. I also read articles in magazines, professional magazines, and I'll contact individuals who are doing that work to see if they want additional work.
Ron, stand by. Bev, also, we've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams is my co-host and our special guest, and Ron Wall is our other guest, and we're talking about how to hire and manage independent contractors. When we come back, that's specifically what we're going to talk about, how to manage independent contractors and how to pay them. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And while we're giving out websites, Beverly Williams is our special guest and my co-host this hour. She's helping me to interview our other guest, who is Ron Wall, president of In Plain English, and we're talking about how to find, hire, manage, and pay independent contractors as opposed to having employees. Beverly, go ahead and give us your website, please.
The website is www.aahbb. That's two A's, one H, and two B's. .org.
And folks, that's the organization that you want to join if you are a home-based business owner, if you are thinking about being a home-based business owner. $30 a year, it's nothing. We'll get you a full membership and allow you to accrue all the benefits of being a member. One of the wonderful benefits is that you get to know Beverly Williams a little bit better and you get to let her help you. And so I recommend that you check them out. And Ron Wall, why don't you give us your website, please?
My website is www.inplainenglish.com.
What will they find when they go there? What will they find when they go there?
Well, they'll see a brochure on the Internet that talks about all the different things that we do. There's even a question of the week that you can ponder and email back to me your response. There are job opportunities. And you're talking about where we get additional writers. We do have a site on the web that shows if you're interested in working for us, here's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a book that I've written recently on my field and how important it is for other people who are writing similar kinds of books to read and to because it deals with government compliance.
What's the title of the book?
The In Plain English Guide to Preparing the Summary Plan Description.
Okay.
That's the employee benefit book for folks that don't know that.
All right. Folks, check that out. Beverly, you had some more comments you want to make.
Well, I did.
About how to qualify.
Right. One of the things that I've always worked on is my intuition. When I'm talking to somebody, when I'm looking for something, my intuition is very strong whether it's right or wrong. But that's not always the best way to hire people who are going to be working on projects that could mean both my reputation and my income to me. Ron, you said something about having people send resumes and writing samples.
Mm-hmm.
What is it you look for, and how do you decide whether someone has the kind of skills just from a piece of paper or maybe occasionally a phone call? How do you decide that they're somebody that you can work with or have worked for you?
It is very difficult. Over the years, I've come to understand that a writing sample will tell me very quickly how professional that person writes, mm-hmm. how well they understand grammar and a sentence construction, and can write something that another person could easily understand. And we're looking for ease of understanding and easy to read, easy if we're writing instructions for something. It has to be extremely easy to understand and use.
Okay, I can see where a written sample like that in what you're looking for would be very valuable. But what about people who are not perhaps able to have something that tangible that's not the focus?
Well, we definitely need a resume and a cover letter. It's like anyone who's applying for a job. You need to know what is it about this individual that meshes with the things that you do. And often a writing sample will tell me that. A resume will tell me if they have the background that I think is necessary to work in the fields that we work in, and we work in several different fields. I'm not looking for experts in the field.
Right.
Far from it. I'm looking for people who can have an understanding of the information and communicate with people generally who have no understanding of that field.
You've already got the experts. They wrote the originals.
That's
right.
Right.
Uh-huh. So people who have never been in a position of having to hire, let's say in their corporate job or their position as an employee of a company prior to starting their home-based business, they never did any hiring practices.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Unfortunately, a lot of it is hit and miss. When you're looking for a contractor, you have to have a lot of faith that that individual is telling you the truth,
mm-hmm.
and that they can perform what you want them to perform. You must come up with some kind of test, if you will, something that if they do it, you can see the sample and you can tell that they know how to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's one other thing that's extremely important, and that's to check their credentials.
Okay. That's what I was hoping you were getting to.
Yes, it's exceedingly important. I had one person apply to me that gave two references from the same firm as reference checks. I called those people. Neither one would give me a reference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that tell you about the individual?
Mm-hmm. But now, the one good thing about an independent contractor, though, you said it was hit or miss. So if you miss, if you actually make a mistake, since it is an independent contractor and you have a contractual relationship with them, not an employee-employer relationship, then you haven't adopted these people. You can just not call them back.
That's correct.
And that's the beautiful part about dealing with contractors as opposed to employees, isn't it?
And you don't have to feel bad about firing them. You just, like you say, Jim, you don't call them back.
You just don't call them back.
If they call and say, I haven't heard from you, I'm looking for work from you, well, if you feel okay to tell them, no, I'm sorry, you made a mistake last time, we're not going to use you again.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but otherwise, just say, well, we just don't have work for you.
Yeah, have a good life.
Yeah.
Stand by, we're going to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams is with us. She is the president of the American Association of Home-Based Business, as well as Ron Wall, the president of In Plain English. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Business, is one of our guests and my co-host this hour, as well as her friend and our friend, Ron Wall, the president of In Plain English, and we're talking about how to find, hire, manage, and pay independent contractors as opposed to employees. It's a concept that is not new, but it has become more and more prevalent in the marketplace of late, and in my opinion, in the next century, in 20 years, I believe that there will probably be more independent contractors than there are. Maybe not more, but there'll be almost as many as independent contractors as there are employees in the country. What do you think, Ron?
I think you're absolutely correct. We see the trend in private industry with outsourcing. If the company, a corporation, outsources to another employee leasing firm, they've essentially gone to a company that is an independent contractor that hires people to work in a different setting.
Right.
But for this the first organization, and that growth in that industry, employee leasing is phenomenal. In home-based business, we find 100,000 people are going into home-based business each year, and most of these people, in order to be successful, have to team up with other individuals mm-hmm. in a independent contractor relationship in order for the marketer to have a product from the technical person to sell.
Did you know that there were 73 million 1099s delivered in 1998?
Well,
did you guys know that?
That figure is going to grow because now they're saying that all corporations will get 1099s.
73 million 1099s. Folks, most of those were people who were independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And you know, Beverly, our friend Dan Pink, that's what he calls a free agent. When he talks
right.
about Free Agent Nation, he was on earlier in the week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When he talks about Free Agent Nation, that's the kind of people he's talking about.
Right. Well, it's interesting that I'm sure this has gone on for a long time, but the advent and proliferation of home-based businesses, I'm sure, has helped it grow more. And there is a book out there, at least one that I'm aware of, that people can read if they want to find out more about how to team up with others, and it's called Teaming Up
mm-hmm.
by Paul and Sarah Edwards. They wrote it a couple of years ago, and it's a wonderful book that talks about some of the things we're talking about here on the show.
Yeah. Let's talk about management. Ron, I would like for you to talk to us about how you manage your people.
Well, managing professionals is not as hard as it is managing them when they're employees. The problem with managing an employee is that you're always looking around to see if they have enough work to do, if they're using their time industriously, and if they're producing what you need to produce during the hours that they're there as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
As an independent contractor, the only thing you're concerned about is deliverable.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do what you ask them to do? I don't care how long it takes them, as long as it's done within the time constraints that we have allotted. I don't care how they're doing it, where they're doing it, as long as it's delivered in the way that I need it to be delivered. And the professionalism that I look for is how a person manages their own time. So I'm hiring other businesses, and that's their business, how they manage their time. I don't need to look over their shoulder.
When you hire an employee, typically they think that okay, I show up at 8, I leave at 5, I take 2 breaks and lunch, I get a vacation, I get benefits, and I'm supposed to be there during that time to man the position, to fill the position that my employer has to be filled, and that my employer is supposed to provide me with all the work, and if they don't, then they still want me to fill that position. As a contractor, I have this job to do. I will pay you for that job. I will pay you for performance, for quality performance based on a certain specification, and when you're finished with it, if it's delivered to me in time in the proper way, then I will pay you for it.
Right. Now, I do something a little bit different in that regard, and I found it's worked for me very, very well. I will pay my writers in the same way that I get paid for my clients. For example, government clients do not give deposits, so the client, my writer, does not get a deposit. We go to work on a job. As the client pays us, whether it's progress payments or a final deliverable, we get paid, and I pay my writer exactly the same time I get paid. However, the writer is responsible to that job as long as the job remains outstanding. If they've written the first draft, the job, their relationship to the job is no additional income. If the client says, well, rewrite this or make these changes, and they continue to say make changes, because we expect the job to be so good from the start that there'll be a minimal amount of change and finalization.
But that they therefore meet some of the IRS's 20 factors for independent contractors insofar as the payment and the risk involved.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, they bear risk. They bear risk directly to me. If the client doesn't like the work, I say to them, you have to do more work.
Ron, stand by.
Pay you more.
Stand by. We have to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ron Wall and Beverly Williams are our special guests. I'll be back in just a few minutes with these two folks. We're going to talk about specifically how you pay independent contractors. Stay with us. We're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, Joan Pride, Associate Editor with the Kiplinger Letters, will be with us. She'll be talking to us about, well, she and I will be talking about the most recent Kiplinger Letter. And right now we're wrapping up the hour with my very dear friend, Beverly Williams, the President and the Founder of the American Association of Home-Based Business, and her board member, and our new friend, Ron Wall, who's the President of In Plain English. And the primary focus of our discussion today has been about something that Ron does as a major part of his business model, and that is to employ independent contractors, to work with independent contractors, rather than have an employee, a traditional employee. Even though he does have one traditional employee, he has 15 non-traditional employees, so to speak, that are called independent contractors, and he works with them on the basis that he asks them to do work for him. They deliver the work, and he pays them, and if he doesn't have anything else for them, they go away from each other, and they go do other things and have a nice life, I guess.
Well,
so,
it's very important, Jim, to interject that there are currently 20 requirements that the government looks at to determine whether somebody is an independent contractor or an employee, and it's important that you have as many of those requirements met. For example, I make a clear-cut distinction between employee and a contractor. If I am working on site for a client, I tell my contractors, do not take the same hours that the employees at that site work. Go home earlier or later, mm-hmm. Come to work earlier or later. You don't have to work through the whole times. And you, for purposes of the job, you don't listen to the supervisor there to tell you what to do.
Ron, I want to stop you for a second. One of the reasons, because I had another question for you, I want to make sure we get to. But Beverly, I also want to remind folks that information, those 20 pieces of information that Ron mentioned, are available on your website, aren't they?
Well, not directly, but they can get it from
the
website indirectly. We have TCB tip sheet, Take Care of Business. One of them is on independent contractors.
Right. Okay. Check that out, folks. Ron, when someone is working for you as an independent contractor, how do you pay them? I know you probably have to help them determine how to charge, especially if they're not used to doing this.
Absolutely. The way I do that is, first I ask them, what is your hourly rate, so that we can determine what your rate would be for a project.
Right.
What if
they're brand new and they say something like, well, I just made $15 an hour at my last job.
Well, the problem that I have to talk them through is how you determine your own rate.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, if you have ever worked for a consulting firm, it's very easy. Because a national consulting firm will charge your salary, divide your salary by 2,080 hours, and take that amount, multiply it by either 2.7 or 3, and use that as your hourly rate for the business.
Right.
Now, what it composes of...
Got 20 seconds, Ron.
...is your marketing costs and your fixed costs of running your own office. I typically tell the person to take what you want to earn, multiply that figure by 2, divide it by 2,000, and then you'll have the figure that you can charge. And when you charge that figure, you'll also be paying for your food, clothing, and shelter,
mm-hmm.
as well as your profit and your pension.
And your marketing time
and
the downtime and all that.
Yeah, people have to understand that when they're doing a job, they're not marketing.
That's right. And when they're marketing, they're not getting paid.
Absolutely.
So they got to remember those two things. Bev, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for introducing us to Ron. As always, you did a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I thank Ron for being with us again. Valuable information.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
You did
sir.
A good job, and we'll talk to you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, just like Ron Wall. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Doctor.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.